You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It's John and Gordy, 92.7 WMDX.
Snow ain't here yet.
No, I went outside.
Looks like we've got snow and it's not snowing.
It's not. I went out there just to double check, you know, and no snow yet.
Yeah.
At least not on State Street. It's 10 degrees. The high today, about 18. We're supposed to get about 4 to 6 inches of snow. We'll check in with Brittany Merlot in about 15 minutes.
All right. Before we get into the big topics today, in fact, we're going to call an audible. We'll go to J.D. Vance asking for no regulations on AA. That would be cut 76. But first, let's go to the phones. We have Dick there. Dick, what do you got for us today?
Well, did either one of you get to see President Musk's little conference in the Oval Office yesterday?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It was riveting.
I like the part bringing the little boy in there. It kind of looked real like Kennedy bringing John in for the photo op, you know. And the president's calling at him. But the best part was, and no one picked up on it afterwards, maybe I'm seeing things, paraphrasing him now. You don't have democracy anymore if you just have this all this bureaucratic BS, more or less what he said. And soon you have people that you didn't even vote for running the country.
Huh. Yeah, geez, how unusual, huh? How weird.
Wow.
He said it out loud.
Would that be you?
Yeah.
I know everybody's pointing this out, and he doesn't get it. Right?
No. And we'll get some things wrong. I mean, I admit that.
Absolutely. We do have that cut, Dick. We've got that cut. We're going to be playing that right now. Let's play that cut, too. Cut 81. This is where a reporter called Elon out for lying. And, he couldn't exactly deny that. So let's listen to it.
But after fact-check this, it apparently Gaza in Mozambique. Mr. Musk, you said on X that an example of the fraud that you have cited was $50 million of condoms was sent to Gaza. But after fact-check this, it apparently Gaza in Mozambique, and the program was to protect them against HIV. So can you correct the statements? It wasn't sent to Hamas, actually. It was sent to Mozambique, which makes sense why condoms were sent there.
Yeah.
And how can we make sure that all the statements that you said were correct, so we can trust what you say?
Well, first of all, some of the things that I say will be incorrect and should be corrected. So nobody's going to bat 1,000. I mean, we will make mistakes, but we'll act quickly to correct any mistakes. I'm not sure we should be sending $50 million worth of condoms to anywhere.
No, really?
I'm not sure that's something Americans would be really excited about. That is really an enormous number of condoms, if you think about it. if it went to Mozambique instead of Gaza, I'm like, okay, that's not as bad, but still, why are we doing that?
Yeah, to stop the spread of HIV. That, I think, is the answer.
Right.
What a cold, brutal individual this person is. Absolutely. No thought whatsoever went into any of this, obviously. And, he's just going to, he can't bat 1,000, you know?
Some of the things he's going to say are incorrect.
Yes. And it's left to us to correct him. Of course, he took down an entire department based on just that alone. All right. So let's get to the big story, the one that just blew my mind a little bit. You know, on this program, we've talked to Mike McCabe about this, how we missed a chance to regulate the internet. We should have done a guardrails, something, right? Mm-hmm. And then we wouldn't have what we have now with Meta, you know, controlling everything that we see and think. And plus, we wouldn't have Musk doing what he's doing with X right now. So anyway, J.D. Vance gets out there. This is a big conference on AI, and he's up on the big screens. He wasn't at the conference necessarily, but he was up there on the big screens. And let's play what he told this conference of eggheads. Let's listen to this.
When conferences like this convene to discuss a cutting-edge technology, oftentimes I think our response is to be too self-conscious, too risk-averse. But never have I encountered a breakthrough in tech that so clearly calls us to do precisely the opposite. Now, our administration, the Trump administration, believes that AI will have countless revolutionary applications. To restrict its development now will not only unfairly benefit incumbents in the space, it would mean paralyzing one of the most promising technologies we have seen in generations.
Yep. And so they can use it to screen applicants for jobs with AI, looking for specific red flags. And, you know, it's all part of getting rid of DEI. That's why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
and, you know, AI
a thought.
Occasionally makes mistakes, too.
It actually
like
does.
A lot.
Yes.
It's still learning.
It's still learning.
What truth
it's
is.
Pulling quotes out of Lincoln movies. You
right.
Know.
Yes. Right?
Killing vampires. But it could be. He may have said it way back then. I think they had vampire stories back then. Let's get into the CFPB. Okay. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, started up by Elizabeth Warren. Of course, that building has been closed up. They shut this thing down. They get their money from the Fed, but they're not accepting the money. It's a clever way to shut down the organization. You know, this is out there protecting us.
Yeah, consumer protection.
Yeah, the guy who came up with Project 2025, Russell Vought, he came up with it, and he is the head of this, and he closed it down. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created in reaction to the Great Recession, okay, where banks took huge risks with junk home loans, and it collapsed the global economy. A lot of Republicans, MAGAs, don't want to remember the Great Recession. They don't even call it the Great Recession. They just call it a recession. But it was the Great Recession. It was a free market experiment that absolutely failed. Now, before I get to the admission that it was a free market failure, let's listen to Elizabeth Warren talking about her department. Let's listen.
Every person who wants to buy a home without getting scammed, this fight is your fight. For every family that doesn't want to get put out on the street in an illegal foreclosure, this is your fight. For every student who wants to borrow money to go to school without getting defrauded, this is your fight.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you might remember that the stand-up comedian who ran for the Senate in the state, Eric Hovde.
Oh.
Yes.
Mr. Pornstash.
Yes, Mr. Pornstash.
Yeah, what happened to
him? He has a bank.
Oh, yeah.
And then they bought these loans from another bank. Mm. And then when they bought those loans, they called the loans in.
Right.
People that had regular loans making their payments on time, they called the loans in. They shut down a major business in one city. And not only shut down the business, but the people who owned the business for generations, they took their home as well. The bank did. They can just call your home loan in. I could get a mailer today saying we're calling your home loan and you got to pay off the rest of it or we're foreclosing on your home. They can do that, and that's what happened during the Great Recession, all right? So here is I have to play this because this is that golden moment in history where the right wing, who says we have to have free markets, It's a great thing. Well, it isn't a great thing. This is Representative Henry Waxman questioning Fed Chairman, former Fed Chairman at the time, Alan Greenspan, one of the biggest fans of free market capitalism. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a wonderful moment. Let's listen.
Well, where do you think you made a mistake then?
I made a mistake in presuming that the self-interest of organizations, specifically banks and others, were such as that they were best capable of protecting their own shareholders.
The question I have for you is, you had an ideology, you had a belief that that free competitive, and this is your statement, I do have an ideology. My judgment is that free competitive markets are by far the unrivaled way to organize economies. We've tried regulation, none meaningfully worked. That was your quote. You had the authority to prevent irresponsible lending practices that led to the subprime mortgage crisis. You were advised to do so by many others. Mm-hmm. And now our whole economy is paying its price. Do you feel that your ideology pushed you to make decisions that you wish you had not made?
Well, remember that what an ideology is a conceptual framework with the way people deal with reality. Everyone has one. You have to exist, you need an ideology. The question is whether it is accurate or not. And what I'm saying to you is, yes, I found a flaw. I don't know how significant or permanent it is, but I've been very distressed by that fact. But if I may I just finish an answer to the question previously?
You found a flaw in the reality.
A flaw in the model that I perceive
is
the critical functioning structure that defines how the world works, so to speak.
In other words, you found that your view of the world, your ideology, was not right. It was not working.
Precisely. No, that's precisely the reason I was shocked, because I've been going for 40 years or more with very considerable evidence that it was working exceptionally well.
After almost two decades of public service, he realizes that the economic philosophy that he had pushed so hard, resisting regulation of derivatives, he realized that there were some fundamental flaws in that whole philosophy.
Yeah.
Oops.
Just amazing.
Sorry, everybody.
So I think that was that moment where we proved that free markets don't work. It just doesn't work. It has to have some kind of guardrails and regulation. That's it. We found out. In a great recession, we paid a huge price for it. Mm. And by the way, somebody made a great comparison. You know, they didn't want to pay off student loans. You know, that they took out the loans. I don't want my money going to pay off the student loans.
But but
the banks collapsed, and we used our taxpayer money to pay the banks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to get out of their problem.
Right.
So I don't know. You know. So. We don't want
to
help
people. That's
just
the way it goes sometimes.
We just want to help businesses.
That's it. 7:18, this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on handcrafted Verlo Mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. Brittany Merlot is next.
Snow.
With weather.
Yes. Snow is sticking
it's
on
coming.
The south side.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
.7 WMDX. Wow, I like that.
Yeah.
Kind of works.
It's cold out there this morning, 10 degrees. Starting to see some snowflakes on State Street downtown here. Let's find out what's happening weather-wise with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. Here it comes.
Yeah.
First flakes.
You said it was our snow, okay? You had your snow a little while back. Now it's our turn. So what do we got coming up here?
Well, you got that winter weather advisory, right? And I think you're pretty much expecting a good 4 inches. I mean, you could see a little bit more, a little bit less in some areas, but a good 4 inches widespread throughout that area. We're looking at, you know, maybe the heaviest, probably late afternoon to early evening. That's when it's really going to be coming down. Visibility dropped. And then as we go into the evening hours, those winds start to pick up. So why I'm talking about the winds is because this is going to be a light, fluffy type of snowfall. Oh. Temperatures today are only going to rise to highs in the upper teens. Yeah. So this is going to be blowing and drifting around a little bit more than we're used to, because usually it's that thick, wet, slushy type that just sticks everywhere and hard to pick up when you're shoveling.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be the case for this one. So a good 4 inches in some areas, like I said, you might see more, especially if those drifts are piling up into certain areas. But this system starting now, like I said, ramping up late afternoon, early evening, and then it's done by midnight, laying down a good 4 inches to that area.
And then no snow tomorrow, but maybe some more on Friday, Saturday?
More snow.
Yeah, great. So we're going to drop pretty cold. So by tomorrow morning, it's going to feel about 10 below with the wind chill factored in. A sunny, cold day, highs at about 15 degrees. Then Friday, more snow moves in. It's right now looking probably late afternoon. And that continues all throughout the overnight and into early Saturday morning before that wraps up. It's targeting you guys once again, southern parts of the state, and the amounts look about the same, maybe a little bit more. So this one could be a little bit of a heavier hitter Friday into our Saturday. Wow. After that, we do drop very cold for Sunday, and we stay cold into early next week as well.
All right. Get out the leaf blowers to blow the snow around, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Do we have Pee-wee here?
Weather alert. Weather alert. It's starting to snow.
It's snowing.
It's snowing.
It's snowing. It's snowing.
It's snowing.
It's snowing. It's snowing. It's snowing. It's snowing. It's snowing.
There you go.
We're a little excited because we haven't gotten much snow this winter yet.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure because I'm excited too, but most people don't like it. So,
I know.
All right, Brittany.
Well, you guys enjoy it and stay safe.
We will.
Thank you. We'll talk to you first thing tomorrow morning. Thanks a lot. Brittany Berlow,
bye-bye.
Our Civic Media meteorologist.
I always feel like we're in Pee-wee's Playhouse. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
move on to the dancing daisies in the window.
That's right. That was a great show.
It was. I miss it. Mm. Hey, this is really good news. We were talking about Elon and, you know, his kid.
Perched on his shoulders.
Makes him look human, but no, he really doesn't look that way at all. You know, face reminds me of a skull. And that's the problem I have with him.
He's an alien.
He is.
Landed from some other planet.
There's good news, though.
Oh?
Sales of Tesla have plummeted dramatically in Germany, France, Sweden, Norway, and the U.K., following the billionaire's co-president's meddling in European politics, throwing his support behind far-right extremist groups. They're not like it out there in Europe.
No, and they're protesting outside a lot of Tesla dealerships, I understand.
That's right.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah. That's right. Tesla registered only 1,277 new vehicle sales in Germany in January. That's a 59% year-over-year drop. The total EV market in Germany also increased, by the way, but not with the help of Tesla, their sales falling. So people are buying EVs from other automakers.
Oh, okay.
And I like Rivian. I'm standing behind Rivian. They're the underdog, and I always get on board with the underdog. Tesla's market share dropped from 14 to 4%. Almost overnight. In France, Tesla sales fell off 63% in January, and Sweden and Norway saw a 44% and 37% drop, respectively. The Tesla brand in Europe has become synonymous with rising fascist movements. That's always good to know. And is growing more and more toxic by the month. I was thinking about getting a used Tesla. Remember when the rental car agencies were selling them off because they had too many of them?
Right.
And I thought, well, that's going to be the used car market right there. And you'd be able to get a nice EV. But there is no way I would be seen in a Tesla at this point. It's a Nazi car. Oh.
A Nazi car?
What? What is it? Test Nazi?
Are you talking about Volkswagen?
No.
wait, hold it.
No, we're not. You're off the hook on that one. We've moved on to Tesla now. My wife gave it a name. I can't remember what it is. I can't remember.
Okay.
The German entrepreneur who sells. I bought this before. This is great stuff.
Okay.
This guy has a bumper sticker called. I bought this before Elon went crazy. Bumper sticker for these vehicles. You know, maybe now you can
That's
buy
good.
One and just put that bumper sticker yes. on there and get away with doing that. Mm. Yeah, this is good news. Really good news. All right. I knew
what,
you were
the
thinking
bumper
about
stickers?
That. Yeah, the bumper sticker. Oh, and by the way, we got somebody who texted us the sticker here. What is this one?
Roll back there. There it is.
Yeah. There it is. It's a sticker with Elon doing the Nazi salute.
Yeah.
Higher grocery prices. Kind of representing, you know, the up movement of the prices. And it says at the bottom, I bet you did not see that coming.
Yeah. Nazi that yeah. coming.
Yeah, that's great. That's I look, they yeah. have they have stickers now with Trump pointing to, you know, the high prices, right? And these are stickers you can go to the store. And sadly, you have to pay $19. I thought, well, I'm going to get a bag of these things. I'm
sure.
going to the store. I'm just going to throw them up all over the place.
Yeah.
But the package only comes with three of them in it.
What?
$19 for three stickers?
Three stickers. That's
not a bargain.
You know, we could probably get.
You know, Trump
Johnny
did that. Trump did that too. $19 for three stickers. That's his fault.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Hey, this portion of the John and Gordy Show brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource. Their work creates vibrant outdoor environments to be enjoyed. David J. Frank Landscaping. You can go to davidjfrank.com for more information. They shape, nurture, and maintain beauty and functionality. They have business and residential. Back with more. Mike McCabe next.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Liquid Lawyer, the product to turn to when your liquid plumber overcharges you.
I'm beginning to think... That's the answer.
Think so? Liquid Lawyer? This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show also brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. You can check them out on Madison's east side or their west side location, or go to verlo.com. Ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
Looks like I picked the wrong year to stop drinking beer.
You think so?
Yeah.
We got a little bit of snow starting to move on through our area. 10 degrees currently, high near 18, maybe 4 to 6 inches possible.
It's time once again.
Yeah.
Each and every Wednesday.
Yes.
We go to Substack and talk to Mike McCabe. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Great.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, we're talking on the phone because of your family, at least one member, has COVID, and it spreads. It spreads through everybody in the family usually.
Didn't want to bring it to the studio.
Yeah. I know. We went through that here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You have a great Substack article this time around, and it's called 4 Days Apart, and you're talking about... Charlie Chaplin and Adolf Hitler at this point.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, these two men were born 4 days from each other, and they bore a really eerie physical resemblance right down to the toothbrush mustaches that they both wore. And they had a similar physical stature, but really that really uncanny physical resemblance is pretty much where all resemblance ended. The two men couldn't have been more different from that point forward. But one of the interesting things is that Hitler apparently was a huge fan of Charlie Chaplin's.
Mm.
Thought that he was one of the greatest entertainers of all time, and loved watching all of his silent movies, and Charlie Chaplin made more than 100 silent movies before he ever made a movie with dialogue. And the first time he made a movie with dialogue, it was a parody of Hitler. Mm-hmm. And it was something that was produced in the late 1930s. So Hitler is at the height of his power, is starting to swarm Europe and commandeer much of Europe. He had already started by 1939 or 1940 to bomb Great Britain. And Charlie Chaplin wants to make this movie lampooning Hitler, and American film executives were very nervous about this. They were not anxious to anger Hitler. They wanted to sort of stay neutral, and some of them actually sympathized with Hitler, of course, but many of the others were just frightened. They just didn't want to antagonize Hitler. And of course, the U.S. had not yet been drawn into World War II, was still on the sidelines. And so Charlie Chaplin decided to pay for the film himself. He decided to produce it with his own money, and makes this film that is just a. In the Substack article that I posted, I put two videos in there of two scenes from the movie Charlie Chaplin impersonating Hitler, and one is just a brilliant and pretty vicious caricature, a parody of Hitler. He does a very fiery Hitler speech in German sounding gibberish.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the other is the final speech where he speaks directly into the camera in English and gives this heartfelt appeal for people to see this kind of hatred for what it is, and to basically, is a speech that seeks to summon our better angels.
I've got that ready. We could listen to it if you think that might help. All right,
go for it.
Why don't we play this? This is Charlie Chaplin.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. Mm-hmm. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man. Not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Amazing stuff. Absolutely amazing speech.
So Charlie Chaplin, you know, and people forget, I mean, they just don't know because it was so long ago, but he was the biggest star in the world at this time.
Yeah.
You know,
he was a huge star, and he could afford to make the film with his own money because he had he'd become such a big star. But the Hollywood executives didn't want that a movie with that message made. They were afraid to do it. The film ended up being wildly popular in the U.S. and in Europe, but it was banned in Nazi Germany, of course.
Sure.
Couldn't be seen there. But, you know, I think one of the amazing things, Charlie Chaplin says in the speech that millions were hearing his voice, and they were hearing his voice for the first time because they had never heard him speak in a movie. He had made over 100 silent films. But he would have had no idea, no way of knowing that many, many, many years after his death, those words would still be echoing loudly in our time and would speak very powerfully to us in our moment.
Yeah, right. Boy. I mean, it took a lot of courage to put out kind of a funny film about the Fuhrer, you know?
He made the world, really, not just our country, but he made the world laugh at Hitler.
Yeah.
And it was a bold thing to do, and he almost, by the way, if you go back through the history of Chaplin, read his autobiography and all of that, he at one point thought of pulling the plug on the project because he was growing so despondent about the atrocities Hitler was committing that he wondered if it was appropriate to make a comedy, to make a parody, and make people laugh at a time when there was so much sorrow in the world that was the result of Hitler's evil acts. And Franklin Roosevelt appealed to Chaplin directly and encouraged him to make the film and said that he would use all the powers of his presidency to make sure that it would see theaters. It would be seen in theaters throughout Europe. And of course, in the United States, the film ended up being wildly popular. Not a lot of people know this little sliver of history, or they've forgotten about it, or they may not even know who Charlie Chaplin is nowadays. But a man of immense courage, and he then wrote in his autobiography that he kind of downplayed the courage that it took to make such a film, to do such a thing, and when Hitler was at the height of his power, and he said it's just what a normal, decent human being would do.
Yeah, that's it. That's the reason why he made it. That is a great reason. All one has to be is normal, decent human being.
Talking with Substack blogger Mike McCabe. Yeah. And, you know, another thing about that film, again, it's The Great Dictator, put out in 1940, if you want to check it out online.
The Balloon Globe.
The Balloon Globe scene where he's dancing around and just really
amazing.
I mean, putting that part of the film together, you wonder how many takes did that take to put that? Because if you haven't seen the film, you really got to see it to believe it. But he's dancing around with this giant globe doing it very artfully.
Yeah. The human
of course,
size
he was a great
globe.
Physical comic.
You know, all those years of making silent movies did make him an incredible physical comedian. He could act without speaking, and then when he finally made a movie where his voice could be heard, this is the one he chose to make. Mm.
Well, where are the voices today? Where are the movie producers today? The actors who are stepping out on the edge?
Mm.
That's what I want to know.
Right?
We don't have movies like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in his own way, for all the talk, you know, about how this was the worst Super Bowl halftime show in history and all of that sort of stuff, Kendrick Lamar, in his own way, in his own voice, stepped out on stage and gave an artfully subversive message to the country. I think a lot of some of it went over the heads of many, but I'll tell you this, it didn't go over the heads of young people who appreciate hip hop.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was a great performance. Mm-hmm. You know, something did occur to me though. I mean, with Hitler invading all these other countries, he didn't, it didn't occur to him to name these countries something that he wanted to name them.
Rename them?
Yes, yeah. Rename them.
He just didn't get around to that.
Right. Well, now we're looking at red, white, and blue land for Greenland.
Instead of Greenland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Yeah. This is, you know, it's a difficult time for all of us to have to deal with what we're seeing here, the dismantling of our own country, our own republic. We're losing all the departments. They act like, and you've probably heard Ilan talk about this, is it's a bureaucracy. You know, they've taken over the country, this bureaucracy. But when you think about it, without that bureaucracy, how does it run? It's like saying, I have the greatest company in the world, but we don't need any of the employees. You know, how does it become a great company without the employees? I don't know. Right. We need these people to help, you know, run the government.
Yeah. Well, you know, for my part, I think one of the important things that we have to do is go back to history and find elements in history that are reminiscent of what we're going through now, so that we can see that these kinds of forces have risen up before, and then brave people fought against them and overcame them, and I think you can both draw comfort from that history, but also instruction from that history, that there are ways that dictators rise, and then there are also reasons why dictators fall.
Yeah.
Mike, hold that thought. We will be back with more with Mike McCabe on John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
.7 WMDX, we're fighting again. We did this in the 60s, right?
Mm.
And now we're back at it.
Fighting for freedom.
Yeah.
And democracy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're talking to Mike McCabe this morning from Substack, and we're going to kind of get into the AI without guardrails version of it. J.D. Vance is asking AI developers to avoid any kind of regulation whatsoever, anything that could hold them back. Let's listen to this cut.
When conferences like this convene to discuss a cutting-edge technology, oftentimes I think our response is to be too self-conscious, too risk-averse. But never have I encountered a breakthrough in tech that so clearly calls us to do precisely the opposite. Now, our administration, the Trump administration, believes that AI will have countless revolutionary applications. To restrict its development now will not only unfairly benefit incumbents in the space, it would mean paralyzing one of the most promising technologies we have seen in generations.
There you go. Hmm. What do you think? What do you think, Mike?
Well, we've talked about this before on the show, about how past technology... past technological developments, past innovations in the area of communication, like radio and television, were immensely impactful on our society, but they were done in a way that served the public interest. There were guardrails put up. There were protections for the public put up. There were requirements that broadcasters serve the public interest. The internet came along and they basically said, let's just let it be the Wild West. And now we've got an environment where the public is not being served in so many different ways by the internet and now AI.
as artificial intelligence becomes has a bigger and bigger impact on our society, those who are profiting from it want absolutely no regulation, just the same way that they want absolutely no regulation in any other sphere of our lives. They don't want consumer protection. They don't want enforcement of laws that when people like Elon Musk operate in an illegal fashion to make immense profits, to make hundreds of billions of dollars, they don't want a Justice Department that will hold them accountable to the law. They don't want a Consumer Protection Bureau that will help make sure that businesses don't prey on consumers and abuse them. They want all of that to go away in the name of profit. And when you see a president who won't place his hand on the Bible to take the oath of office, but takes the oath of office anyway, and seated right behind him are the three richest men in the world who are looking on, you could tell right then and there what this administration's true purpose is. It's to turn billionaires into trillionaires.
It's stunning. It really is absolutely stunning to see him do this. And he also made bribery legal. I believe he signed an executive order allowing bribes at this point. Is that correct?
And to get the Supreme Court to say that the president is above the law, is immune from any prosecution for any presidential act. Well, yeah, you know what that says right then and there is that the president should be able to be bribed.
Yes.
It should be able to accept bribes for official actions, and can't be held accountable to the law. And so, for decades, for generations, we've seen corrupt politicians brought to justice eventually, when they've engaged in extortion or when they've accepted bribes, when they've sold their power for personal enrichment. You know, they've peddled their influence. There's a long line of politicians who've gone to jail for doing that. But now what the Supreme Court has blessed is this idea that doesn't apply to the president.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I keep thinking that this AI could be used to hire people for this Trump administration looking for certain characteristics. AI could certainly pick these people out of a crowd, their applications, looking for little red flags that only AI could interpret in a certain way to make sure that we get the right people in the Trump administration. That's what I'm thinking this is all about, really.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. And I think in the end, Congress needs to protect its role, its constitutional role in our government. It needs to preserve the separation of powers. But the current congressional majority shows no interest in doing that, which means that judges, the courts, are going to have to be, you know, something of a rampart, something of a barrier to abuse of power, and there are judges in the country who are showing that some of that willingness to block these actions. That's going to have to happen. But then I think it really does come down to the public, and when politicians in Congress are too cowardly to do the right thing, that's where the voices like Charlie Chaplin's need to rise up in our time. To infuse elected officials with that courage, because they're not coming upon it naturally. They're not coming upon it on their own, and that's exactly what Charlie Chaplin did. Here he was a comedian. He was a silent film star.
Yeah.
And the Hollywood executives were afraid to challenge Hitler. And, of course, elected officials in our country were afraid to challenge Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And FDR was basically pleading with the country, we can't look the other way. We need to enter into World War II, and Congress wouldn't have it. For a long time, Congress wanted nothing to do with American involvement in World War II.
Didn't Mike, we got to leave it there. Sorry to break in here, but thank you for joining us. Mike McCabe. Talk to you
great
next Wednesday.
Thanks for the wallet. I appreciate it.
Tomorrow, Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, also Busted Pencils, Tim Slicker.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.